Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Tonight's episode will be playing Tragedy. Started, we have Don and Wade on the line. I'm thankful that both of you called in. Tonight's episode is about the federal prosecutor Jeffrey Berman, who was fired, and the 46 previous prosecutors who were fired by Trump and Jeff Sessions in 2017. President Donald Trump dismissed Manhattan's chief federal prosecutor, Jeffrey Berman, on Saturday, which was a few days ago, after the prosecutor who had launched a series of criminal inquiries targeting the president's allies initially refused to resign. Attorney General William Barr said in a letter to Berman, "Now, Jeffrey Berman was one of the ones who prosecuted Michael Cohen. Last Saturday, Berman said he would not challenge Barr's decision and would leave immediately. There was rumors that they offered him a transfer as well. Barr said U.S. Attorney Audrey Strauss would serve as acting chief of the office until a permanent successor would be seated. Trump appeared to distance himself from the Attorney General's statement, saying the decision to remove Berman was Barr's to make. Now, this was controversial because Jeffrey Berman was also one of the federal prosecutors that was pursuing the reason why Trump would not release his taxes. And Trump used to be stationed in New York City, and now he moved his residency to Florida. So that creates another problem. I just want to mention briefly the scandal that happened in 2017 when former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who was appointed the AG by Trump, requested the resignations of 46 attorneys. It has happened in the past, but usually not that swiftly. There's been more mild transitions. when they're eliminating that many U.S. attorneys. I'm just going to name a few names, and then I'm going to head into the description. Felicia Adams in Northern Mississippi, George Beck, all these people were resigned or fired. District of Alabama, A. Lee Bentley III, Middle District of Florida, Priyat Bharara, Southern District of New York, dismissed, which we will talk about. Dana Boente, Eastern Virginia, Daniel Bogden, Kenyon Brown, Alabama, Richard Callahan, Missouri, Robert Capers, Eastern District of New York, David Kapp, Northern District of Indiana, Michael Cotter, District of Montana, Christopher Crofts, District in Wyoming. So the list goes on, and it was nationwide. It wasn't just in one part of the country. So there was a well-known U.S. attorney in southern New York named Preet Bharara. He's Indian descent from India. He was fired. He was not asked to resign. He also asked to maintain his position in 2016 by President Trump. Trump's Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, traded stocks of health-related corporations during the time period when Price was working on crafting legislation that would affect those firms. Bahara was said to have been supervising an investigation about the propriety of those trades. The administration did not respond to questions about the relationship. I think, this is just me talking, I think later on Tom Price was forced to resign for violations in travel. Bahara was also reported to have been investigating CNN, the New York Times, The Washington Times, New York Magazine, and other sources that Fox had covered up a dozen of reports of sexual assault and harassment by its former CEO and chairman, Roger Ailes, generating potential tort liabilities that should be disclosed to shareholders. Fox attorney and potential Bahara replacement Mark Mukasey declined to comment. In his resignations, Capers wrote, "This afternoon I was instructed to resign from the U.S. Attorney of Eastern New York. It has been my greatest honor to serve." And then they go on to say that most of the people who resigned did not have choices. So with that, I'm going to bring in the callers. I'll bring in Wade first and Don. They called in first. Hi, Wade. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Jane. I'm doing all right. I like the music. Was that Santana?
No, it was John Yoder playing Tragedy.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, it was an instrumental that he wrote and played, and I'll let him describe a little more when I pull him in. Yeah, Don likes that song, too. Hi, Don. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Jane. Hey, Wade. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
John's there. Hi, John.
Yeah, we're not confined to talking about the firing of federal prosecutor Jeffrey Berman, but that's the lead topic, so it's not going to just be dry material. John, can you tell Don and Wade how your song Tragedy came about?
Oh, yeah. I was actually, I'd gone through a divorce, and I took about a year just to do a lot of contemplative thinking about music, like what I really want to do, because I came to L.A. To be successful. I was married. My ex, she was a lead singer, and I had put her in the front because it's just better for the optics, kind of like Sonny and Cher, Peaches and Herb, Donnie and Marie. Rock set, any of those kind of bands, you know, put the gal in front, the good looking one.
I got you, babe.
Yes, okay. And the plan was great. The plan was great, but you know what happened with most of those bands? It's just they bust up. And then the problem is the front person, whoever's singing, is the band. if that's the identity, like Journey or Boston or any of these bands at Chicago, once the lead singer goes, it's a shuffle. And so during that time period, I basically was a Christian artist and doing really radical, extreme, in-your-face Christian lyrics. And because of the female vocal, we wanted to be more pop, more contemporary, with a kind of a positive message. And so when that all blew up, it was kind of back to the drawing board after almost, 15, 20 years. So I started working on heavy themes, Paradise Lost, Human Tragedy, songs like Sorry and other ones that talked about global conditions, end of the world, Armageddon, life and death, all that stuff, kind of like the Daily News. And so I came up with this one, and I worked on it for, I would edit, every little beat, every little hit on the keyboard. I would just go over and over, and I was almost like a musical monk. In fact, one time my brother came by, he had a date, but he couldn't get her to go on the date without having a date for his dates, like his girlfriend. So he shows up and he says, "Hey, we want to go to the movie. I've got, there's two girls in my car. I've got my date, and the other one is a date for you. Just let's go. We're going to the movies." And I was like, "I'm kind of busy." It was like Sunday afternoon, and he said, "No. She's just your kind of gal. You'll love her." And I was like, for half an hour, I'm like, no, I'm just working on music. And finally for him, I went, and she was like a little Barbie. I mean, like a Hispanic Pamela Anderson, if you can imagine. And the funny thing is, she's totally uninterested in me anyway. And, so my brother's talking to both of them, picking up on both of them, and I'm talking about Armageddon and the end of the world. And they just want to talk about clubbing and dancing.
Is that because she already knows she didn't like you?
I was like, I had a different focus. I wasn't, I'd gone through a divorce. I was already married to a little Barbie, so I didn't need that. I was just trying to focus on God. And I just felt all this stuff was a distraction, kind of like Eve in the garden, like to eat of this fruit. I don't want, I've seen that movie before. So that's what happened. So, yeah, the lead on it is very dramatic. I want to use it in a movie or something, because it's one of my best solos. And I usually play it for kids just the last 30 seconds, and they think I'm like Van Halen or something like that. True story. It was my
masterpiece. That was a long explanation.
I know.
And speaking of tragedies, Donald Trump is still our president.
By the way, I have to say for everyone, because we want to be politically correct, as Jimmy Kimmel, little Jimmy had to kind of step down because they found some video.
I heard about it. Did he really step down?
Well, he's taking a break for the summer because he has the Emmy show and he's got all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah, you should tell Don why he had to step down.
What happened?
He's kind of the limelight so that hopefully in 2 or 3 months it'll calm down. But 2 decades ago, like all artists, right, they've got video of them using the N-word. He did a sketch that he produced. It's his face all over it. He did it in blackface, and he's pretending to be Snoop Dogg, so he raps for 2 or 3 minutes, and he's throwing the N-word every 2 seconds. You can't bleep it out, and it's out there. You'll see Saturday Night Live, Tina Fey, she asked, I think it's Universal owns NBC, something like that. Anyway, she requested that they remove all the blackface episodes on Saturday Night Live. With all these people with their political correctness, they don't realize is they've all been saying the N-word.
Somebody else got in trouble for something similar. I think they got fired, actually.
So all the people trying to crucify all these, Kevin Hart had to give up the Oscars and the Emmys, all these award shows, and, kind of hide in disgrace. And Ted Danson, remember, he did a thing with Whoopi. Howard Stern did it with Sherman Hemsley from the Jeffersons. Extreme craziness. So tonight I have to say to everyone, blackface matters. Blackface matters.
Okay, someone made a parallel in the news about it, but now I got to find out who else got fired before him. What do you say about that, Don?
I mean, what he said at the end is correct. Black faith matters.
Black lives matter, not some creepy spoof on black people.
Same thing. Same thing, only different. Black faith matters. Black lives matters. Black faced lives matter. It all is the same thing. You know that. We're
hey,
all
Don,
trying to.
I was listening to. Sorry, Don. I'll talk when you're done. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so there's a group of radical student body people at Rice University. And they asked the university to remove the statue of the founder. Then they asked for a special black house. It's called a black house with accommodations like kind of like as fancy as a frat house where black people can congregate and socialize. And then they want for their university course catalog, they want certain tags on the classes being offered to indicate if the teacher is going to include diversity studies. So they're trying to actually modify the whole campus, and they demanded more black professors, which I didn't think it was that crazy, all the requests. But, of course, I had my church channel on from Sunday, so I was accidentally listening to Mike Savage tonight, but he had actually a substitute host on, which is a conservative, and they were complaining that all these radical, they call it Gen Z, it's Generation Z, that they're all radicals and they're going to try to transform America, and Bernie Sanders is considered mild compared to what these people are up to.
Well, not only that, on the news, just about, 45 minutes ago, I was flipping around, and they were talking about Brown Lives Matter and all Latino movement, like no one's listening to us, no one's, you know, cares about us, and so there, that's a big, big move. Four blacks get killed every week by cops, three Latinos get killed every week by cops. And 75% of the people killed are non-black, but nobody matters outside except for blacks. Also, they want to get rid of any white Jesus statues. That's the new thing. It's going to get rid of George Washington, Lincoln.
Are you sure?
Anyone that's white. Oh,
that's
I'm
what I've been yelling about.
But not statues of Jesus.
Ever. Yes,
Michelangelo.
No white Jesus statues, because it's not the truth. It's a lie.
Yeah, my Hebrew Christian black roommate thinks that Jesus is black.
There is no thinking. Read the dang Bible. I know you don't read the Bible, but read what
I do too. I know the part where they said his hair is woolly.
Okay, well, bottom line is, why do you even...
Middle Eastern. He's a Jew.
Right.
He's a Jew. He's not from Africa. He's not from Ethiopia.
That's not true.
That's in the New Testament, Don.
Okay.
I mean, it's in the Book of Revelations.
Don. The line of David. So you're telling me that King David was black? King Solomon was black? You tell me all the Jews from
of course, they came from Africa. They're black. Everybody's black.
So David,
Don, can you go into a quiet space? Because I ain't fighting with the whole family.
Welcome to the rewriting of history. How the Jews were black. They were in Africa. And somehow they conquered the Egyptians, which were, I don't know, what were the Egyptians then? I'm trying to figure out what country
Egypt
the
is
Jews
in
came
Africa,
from.
But they don't look entirely black.
So you're saying that Israel is in Africa?
No, I said that I figured I was going to make a point before Don did that Egyptians are Middle Eastern looking, but I'm sure Don was going to chime in that Egyptians are black too.
That's black.
And so are Palestinians and Iranians and all Muslims.
I agree with John. I think Jesus looks like the painting where he looks like a beach boy. I mean, like a Bee Gee.
I don't think we know, but I think artists are allowed to have their interpretation, you know, like they can imagine. And, you know, no, how dare they? That's not their statue. You don't touch it. Hands off. Not yours. For those people that want to tear it down, F them. Someone needs to stop these people. How dare they? That is not their artwork. Nobody gets to tear down someone else's statue.
Good job, Wade.
I agreed with the Confederates. Okay, they were the bad guys. But you don't mess with Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. And I agree, it depends where the statue is. Like, if the statue is on private property, like, remember about 8 years ago when they tore down the Ten Commandments in, I think it was the state of Georgia or Tennessee, because they were ordered to? But if it's at a private university that somebody built 200 years ago and it's not inflammatory, then that's different.
Well, yeah. If I can, I'd like to read something from a book. Maybe you guys... Maybe you'll like it. It says, every record has been destroyed or falsified. And every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day, minute by minute. History has stopped. And basically, no, or in other words,
What are you reading from?
1984, Orwell. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. In other words, remember in Orwell, his job was part of the information, right? The news is coming out, and they would edit every event, everything to fit one narrative. And this is what we're talking about. You want to see the history of slavery and oppression, because you want to see the concentration camps, right? Oh, no, let's wipe out the concentration camps. It was bad. You know, people need to see the history and understand. Or otherwise, they will be painted anew, which, by the way, if you're going to get rid of old statues that were associated with racism, then let's get rid of the Democratic National Party. Because they're the party of slavery, the KKK. They're the party of the Jim Crow laws. They're the party of just basically slavery, of like welfare and keeping black slaves on the plantation today, killing the black babies through abortion. So why don't we get rid of them and edit them out of history for their racism? Because that goes back as far, that is, the Republican Party freed the slaves with the American flag. Do I have an amen?
I just want to go back one second and question Don. I understand. I know the whole philosophy behind the Hebrew Christian, where they think that the sons of Noah dismantled and went to Africa. I can't, Ham, Japheth, and Sham, or something like that. But throughout history, like Europe and Russia and all these neighboring Georgia, Armenia, they all depicted like King David and all the founders of the Christian religion and Jewish religion as Middle Eastern or white. So I don't know who got it wrong, but there was a Armenian guy named Nikolai Gorichian who created a beautiful monument of King David, and it was given to the Jewish country. And It was installed in 2008. So like I'm sure like throughout history like people have all these, I wouldn't say misconceptions, but they have ideas of what Jesus looked like. But it doesn't really matter because Jesus was love. And Isaiah 53 said that his face was not recorded or the color of his skin. So people can think what they want to think, but I want to get back to the surface of American politics. But I do think, I did hear that Mike Pence gave a speech the other day on Black Lives Matter, and he got shit for saying all lives matter because people are so vigilant that they can't even say all lives matter anymore without getting heat. Anybody can go ahead now.
Yeah, all lives do matter. I'll say it. You know, I mean, which includes black lives, includes white lives, includes Hispanic lives. I guess the point is that there's this idea that it needs to be particularly pointed out that black lives matter, but I don't see that this country doesn't know that. I mean, if people didn't think black lives matter, why would there be all these huge protests over the death of a black person?
I think it's just because it's gone so much in the forefront that, like, the killing of George Floyd in broad daylight was such an eye-opener that, like, there is going to be no more tolerance of any type of bondage version of white supremacy, and what I mean by that is institutional racism and things of that nature. But let's have Don go since he's pretty more experienced in this area. Don, what's your comment?
Nothing. I mean, I've been ever since day one of this show, I've been talking about the fact that race trumps everything that goes on in democracy. We were built on the difference of race. So the American fabric. So, you know, this is something that I'm trying to make sure that people understand that this is the entire action. This is something where blacks, whites, Latinos, everybody is out. You know, I saw a lot of people at Habib's in the marches in the last month and a half. And everybody is saying something. And if people don't understand, they just are going to be left behind. This Z, whatever John called it, Generation Z, they are real. They are the real deal. There haven't been a
Generation Z.
Yeah, Generation Z. These people have that. They really don't care. They don't see it as a future. A lot of their idols have been in jail or, you know, have done other things wrong. It's just going to be a real difficult time stopping them. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with it because we've got a whole new paradigm. We're not going to be going to big concerts and tight classrooms probably for a long, long time. So they're going to have an opportunity to really morph, get stronger. And because they're proficient at social media, who knows how strong they'll be. Us old folks, by the time that comes about, we may be one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. But I'm eager to work with them because they don't take no for an answer, neither do I. We've been talking with all the police and all the lawmakers here, and we're trying really hard in Reno to formulate a plan that's going to be efficient and effective in bringing along peace and showing people that we're better off together than we are apart, and we're still apart. But other than
so
that, I want to
read something quick by Sean King, a social media influencer, American writer, and civil rights activist. He's the one who started this controversy yesterday. He wrote on Twitter, "Yes, I think the statues of white Europeans they claim is Jesus should come down. They are a form of white supremacy, always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, where did they go? Egypt, not Denmark. Tear them down." And then he posted a picture of Jesus in the West Bank in Palestine, and it looks half black and half Middle Eastern.
Well, here's what happened to the adults. Like, you know, the young people need to be told no, and everybody's afraid of them now. You know, like that, and people even like, you know, bow down to them. Like, oh, the youth are so, you know, no, young people are stupid usually. My generation was stupid. People, someone needs to be the adult and be like, no, you can't burn things down. You know, we're not going to give you everything you want. It seems like a bunch of spoiled brats we're dealing with.
Well, that's what they said on the Mike Savage show, is that they're demanding things that won't be given to them right away, and if they don't get it, then they're just going to go off the hinge, so to speak.
They're a generation just like the 60s. This is not new behavior. And here's the problem is that people who are anarchists, people who want to destroy, are manipulating minds, young minds that have no experience. They don't understand life. They think that their parents are bad people, evil people. They sold out to the system. And what you're seeing in Chaz, I'll give you an example. Let's take Chaz. Okay, let's burn down the police department and let's take over 6 blocks of downtown, okay? And we're going to have this new utopia. And the mayor there called it could be the summer of love. And she's like laughing away. Well, then a week later, gunshots fire out. Someone's dead, someone's wounded. And the next day, guess what? Someone else gets shot. Here's the problem. Well, let's arrest him. With who? Or people. Well, where are we going to put them? In jail. We don't have a jail. Well, what about police station? Don't have a police station. Well, we'll need to get a lawyer. Well, where do you get the lawyer from? Well, what about a jury and a court date? We don't have a court date. Well, what about the hospital? We're going to have to send them out of the area. Well, do you understand the problem with this? They have nothing. They don't have jobs. They're going to school studying basket weaving. Or I had a customer this week.
Well, a lot of them might not be students, John. I don't think there's not that many students.
Well, they obviously aren't working because they have enough time to jack off in the streets for a weekend and burn and loot things down. People who work understand the value of a job, understand the value of community, of building things. Trump is a builder, okay? Bernie is not a builder. Bernie's a protester. He's a community organizer, as was Barack Hussein. Now, going back to this issue.
Okay,
you know,
call him by his name, Barack Obama.
His name is Barack Hussein Obama. That is his name.
He was harmless compared to what's going on now.
Barack Obama is the most dangerous person in the American history who's dedicated his life. I have a customer.
That's what
Did
Michael
you know?
Savage said. He said
Did
that
you know?
Obama's team, Bernie's team, it's this new generation that's going to force us, and the squad, they're going to wipe out any traditional member of Congress and transform the society into a whole different set of ethos and values.
One of my customers went to school with Barry Sotelo, the immigrant, foreign exchange student. That's what he called himself back then. He said, "I'm not American. I'm a foreign exchange student."
And which friend is this?
This is a customer of mine that goes to the 99er regularly. He comes in and he says, I went to Columbia. He was in my dorm. He was two doors down. He used to go out for a beer, one beer. He wouldn't get more than that. He wouldn't party. He wouldn't, you know, he'd get a beer, sit down, and he'd start talking with the same cadence, the same manner of talking, the same method, the same approach. That's his style. He's always talked like that. And he was obsessed with Cuba. And Castro, he talked about communism all the time.
So was Paul Wellstone.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. I was like, that's interesting. I ought to Google this. I started Googling Obama, Cuba. And once you know the last thing he did before he left office, besides throwing the $1.5 billion to the Muslims, to the clerics in Iran, the Ayatollah, he also took a visit to Cuba and talked about he'd been working for 3 years.
And he also loosened the travel restrictions there because Cuba was never a threat to us.
Oh, but there's more. See, what he wanted to do was have, because they're 90 miles away from us, they're just a stone's throw away, to have people going back and forth into our country. Castro putting, or his regime, because he's dead, but his brother and those taking over, having them, they funnel money from Cuba into America. They set up fronts. They set up businesses, laundromats, as you will know them to be if you study the CIA. This is how it works. And then these people travel back and forth. They're interacting with politicians.
Did you know Cuba was oppressed economically for years? By America, yeah. And by the way, I have a friend who went to Occidental College with Barack Obama before he was a grad student at Columbia, and his name was Barack Obama.
Well, he likes Sortello on his Columbia. That's how he
got
his...
That's something you found in the dark web, because I've seen it myself. You don't have no friend that comes to the 99 cent store who was... a Columbia classmate, you're trying to bulldoze us.
No, I'm not trying to bulldoze it. You're full of crap, Jane. You're a commie spy. You live for Marxism. That's,
I am
you're
not
with,
a commie spy. I want to know who this person is. I want their name, their age, and their address.
His daughter, performer, and she's signed on a label, and see if I can remember her name. Her last name's R.A.E.
Just because
Ray.
I challenge you, you don't have to call me a commie spy, because I'm not
you
on
are.
The Russian payroll.
You are. You're a Marxist. You talk about it. You love it.
But I'm not a commie spy.
A communist.
Okay,
is a Marxist.
We're taking a vote. Don and Wade. Don and Wade.
A Marxist is a communist.
Is
what do you think Barack, a Marxist
is? It's Barack Hussein Obama. Bad blood, and is he a foreigner, or was he an American-born citizen whose grandparents raised him in Hawaii? Raise your hand verbally if Barack Obama is an American citizen.
I don't know.
How many A's do I have?
Hey.
What? Wade, are you on the fence, or do you think Barack Obama was born here?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have a
picture. I don't have enough information.
Hey, Jane.
Okay, I have a picture of Barack Obama in a middle school basketball game in Hawaii. He was on a team.
Okay.
And he was one of the few black people at that school.
Do you know
I mean, that's not important to me anyway.
Do you know Barack Obama's brother?
No, I know his half Indonesian sister.
His brother.
He doesn't have a brother.
He does. His brother is MAGA 2020 Trump. He posts about Barack.
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
No, his brother, Obama's brother, is a Trumpite.
Jan, you're so out of the loop.
You know what? You want to know the really sad thing? It's 2020, and you morphed Trump self-deceived intellects are still crying about Barack Obama because you're so scared of his legacy.
You know why? Because they're about ready to rip apart his legacy with 52 subpoenas. And that's what
they're
all
this crap. I've been hearing it for 3 years.
I know you have. And that's how come Berman, see, your show tonight was about Berman.
And why did you say Michelle, his wife, is going to be Joe's running mate? Why would they do that?
Because she's the most popular woman on the planet right now. And because she's got a, someone will have to step up and protect the legacy. Berman has been sitting on Epstein, the Clinton Foundation, in Ukraine, which, by the way, yesterday they just put out a video. It's translated into English about the $1.5 billion that Soros and Biden were doing with gas embezzling in Ukraine. That's what's going on. You know, we've been investigating Trump for 3.5 years. They still want to investigate him. It's the swamp. This is how come this, you say, yeah. It's because Trump has got to get rid of these bastards, 47.
Well, in my swamp, Donald Trump hasn't paid a dime in taxes.
Donald Trump has saved you billions and billions of dollars. By the way, the border, 97% shut down as far as people coming in. The border
I
is
know,
working.
And people can't even go. Minnesotans are mad because they can't go fishing in Canada.
Yes, and all
it's
the time we're talking
because
about
of COVID,
the wall,
and
the
Minnesotans
wall
are pissed.
It's going to be a hot summer.
Did you know when the border's going to reopen? I do. It's going to reopen November 5th when they exile Donald Trump to Brazil.
They may, and it will be the end of our Constitution. By the way, remember how excited you guys were about the black hangings because, you know, the white people hanging blacks? Well, the family looked at the video footage regarding Malcolm Harsh, and they had to agree. Yeah, he hung himself. Wasn't a white man.
That's sad.
Well, I thought you'd be disappointed, Jane. So that way they could march and burn down Pacoima and
I'm not, you
Palm
know what?
Down.
I've been going to work every day. I haven't been marching. I'm a 59-year-old white woman. I'm not at the epicenter of change anymore, except for this radio show. Now, old man Gallimore, chip in. I need a defender.
You need an attorney.
I'm taking a potty break from John. So it's you three on the air.
All right, well,
go
know,
ahead.
Well, Rod, there's really nothing to say because this is all conjecture about the future, and our past is already done. We've got, 110 days until election time. And everybody, like I always say, just go out and vote. No matter who you're looking for, like, go out and vote. And it's our job as the backbone of the candidate to make sure that they get as far as they go. So we got a lot of work to do. But all of this stuff is, and I hate to say this, but it's not black folks' fault. You know, that you saw where the lady who burned down the Wendy's. Now, after she burned down the Wendy's, what, in a week? She finally, they indicted her. It was like malicious arson or something like that. So, you know, we're slowly getting some kind of picture of who's really doing a lot of this stuff. And it's not black folks. It's doggone, you know, and Antifa-esque type groups who really want to take this to the next level. And we need to be careful who our friends are. You know, one of the things that I've always probably kept me alive is the saying, you keep your friends close and you keep your enemies closer. And you would just make sure that they understand that you've got a job to do in life. They've got a job to do in life. respect everybody, but bring it on. And that's how I do things. But we've got the police. We're talking with them constantly, two or three times daily sometimes, and we're just making sure that this works.
Well, it looks like
yeah.
AOC is going to be hanging around. She took out the fourth-ranking Democrat in Congress tonight. And let's see, Crowley. And he's the first member of the House Democratic leadership to sign on to support Medicare for All. But basically, AOC came in, and you know, she's doing the universal health care. She wants to get rid of ICE, and she's also guaranteed government jobs, and that's boy, she seems to be open those borders up for AOC, so she can get more free votes.
Well, I mean,
but,
right. So you're saying now that instead of a congresswoman, she is now. A state congresswoman, she's a federal congresswoman?
Well, let's see. It says that she ousted 10-term incumbent Rep. Joe Crowley in New York's 14th congressional district on Tuesday. That's projected. But, I mean, she was getting most of the votes. In the most shocking upset of a rollicking political season. And I guess that's interesting. She was outraged by him 10-1. Huh, I thought she had more. Or she didn't have a lot of money. I think $8 million or so. But he had a lot more. Anyway, first time in 14 years a member of his own party has attempted to unseat Crowley, who chairs the Queens County Democrats. So we are looking at this younger, wilder group of people that want to basically free everything, well, free stuff. And they don't see a problem with burning things down and just tearing up the Constitution and starting all over again. That's the whole problem. It's the Young Turks and the people that have helped AOC, they're Marxists. It's not about black rights. It's like just like in the 1960s with the Black Panther movement. You know, Angela Davis was a major communist. And they're using the energy and the excitement of young people and their impatience to say, you know, let's get change. And like, yeah, let's overthrow things. Yeah, revolution. Yeah, but they don't know what they're really revolting to. Like, everything's against Trump, but what are you for? What is your plan?
Authoritarian stealing. That's what they're for.
John, I have a trivia question for you. Which country in the world was the protectorate of Cuba from 1898 to 1902? Don't use Google.
I'm thinking it might be the U.S. I could be wrong.
Yes,
but
under the Treaty of Paris, Cuba became a U.S. protectorate from 1898 to 1902. They gained economic and political dominance over the island, which persisted from 1902 till the Cuban Revolution in 1959. Then we severed ties 2 years later, and the United States from that point on pursued covert operations to topple the Cuban government, which they were never able to do. And the battle, and even though Kennedy was a Democrat, the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis, as all of us know because we're from that generation, they were key battlegrounds in trying to overthrow Cuba. It never happened, and it pissed off the capitalists more than the Washingtonians, because Cuba was a threat to capitalism everywhere because their socialism worked.
Right, and I think we got Guantanamo Bay during those, you know, those earlier years. But if you look at the history of it, what was Cuba back then? I mean, you had a bunch of capitalist ideas or different forms of government.
It was basically It was probably like the Bahamas, St. Kitts, and all those other places. They were subject to European colonialism.
And just like Mao, just like Castro, just like Stalin, they come in and they promise the people, hey, you know, power to the people, resist the bourgeois, the elite. We're going to get rid of them. We're going to take their stuff, all their money, those Walmarts, those Exxons, all those, you know, those big companies. We're going to give it all to the people. We're going to split it up, and everyone's going to have so much money and so much growth. And go, you know, Cuba, they drive like cars.
Well, they paid a high price because with the U.S. Blockade of, what do you call it, like imports, when they wouldn't trade with Cuba, like they're driving cars around from the 1950s.
1950s.
Like they don't have jack shit over there.
Right, and so someone will say, well, the U.S. bankrupted them. Well, wait a second. What happened to all their other little buddies in the planet? I mean, they could trade with China, Japan, Russia, Middle East, South America.
I'm sure they were allied with the USSR in 61, but things changed over time. But, yes, they were considered a rebel nation, and Barack Obama was the first president in 2014 to visit there in 88 years.
And he didn't want to change anything about their government. He didn't care about the social injustice there. He didn't care about political hostages.
I'm sure he did
like
to some extent.
He said,
he also negotiated with Canada and Pope Francis in an agreement that lifted United States travel restrictions. You know, there's a lot of Catholics in Cuba.
He wanted the waters of economic improvement to overwhelm the communism. But the point is, he didn't do anything about the government, about their system, allowing them to get into our country and infiltrate, just like China did in Harvard, in our universities, buying up our businesses, our technology. This is what's taking over America. We're being killed from the inside. It's not a foreign power.
I'm letting you know is that Cuba, under the embargo, they suffered highly.
Yes. Because we wanted the people to realize that communism doesn't work is the problem.
But it's still coercion, John. Even if just because they don't, you can't force a country to be like us. Go ahead, Wade. It's your turn.
Well, just what do you mean? Like, I would say coercion is when you know you get in someone's way, you use violence or threat to prevent someone from doing something, but you know, not helping, not giving money is not coercion. I mean, what do you mean?
Because there was covert operations in that country for years.
Oh, that's true.
So it was under the radar. It was corrupt.
Right, and we didn't want communism 90 miles away from us as they were sending missiles to launch 90 miles away from us, supplied by Russia.
The 60s. I'm talking about now, though.
Well, even now, if you have a neighbor that is an axe murderer, now you maybe won't go break into his house and take him out. Maybe you want to, but the point is you're not going to bring him cupcakes and cookies and say, come over to my house, but come back and forth whenever you want, because this person wants to kill you. Communism wants to destroy capitalism. I mean, that's the whole concept, is that the class war will rise up, take out the elite, destroy, and what's capitalism? Well, the right to personal property, individual freedom, you know, and under communism, you don't have that. It's the state owns everything.
I think what we should all do is I'm going to give everybody an assignment. Everybody should study for 15 minutes between now and next Tuesday. Well, I'm going to be in Kersey, Colorado that night, but we can all study one aspect of Cuban history between 1902 and now.
It could be fun.
Yeah, why not? And a lot of times people say the same things on our show, but I notice that Wade always has something different to say. So I'm complimenting him tonight.
Thank you.
So where do you guys want to go from here? And by the way, John, I do want to ask you, you missed part of the intro. So when Trump got rid of 46 U.S. attorneys, and he recently got rid of one more. How do you think that helped with draining the swamp? Anybody who is his enemy, or was there a bigger picture in mind? So I'm giving you the floor for a few minutes.
Well, this is showtime. This is the storm. And we talked about the storm. And remember, I've been saying for 2 or 3 years, we're going to have a storm.
I know what
storm.
The storm is. It's part of QAnon.
And what I'm saying is, what's happened, and who could even imagine? We're like wearing masks. People haven't been able to work for 3 months. We have the news every day pumping out, this is the end. This is like Trump is over. And you have 800,000 kids, K-pop kids, wanting to buy tickets. I told one of the kids, oh, so they're finally supporting Trump now. Like, Trump is the biggest threat to them. They don't care about anything except stopping Trump. Now, imagine if Trump manipulated in Biden's election and his process. They would be like, oh, Trump is evil. We got to get rid of him. This is bad.
Why don't you explain that to Wade? Because he probably doesn't know what you're talking about regarding the K-pop kids.
Oh, I heard they faked ticket sales or something.
Yeah, they falsified ticket sales.
Right. So basically, it'd be like if I bought, say the Lakers, if they're gonna have a basketball game like the Lakers, and I bought half the tickets in the arena, and then I didn't show up, and so they're thinking, you know, it's gonna be a sold out arena, and then instead, no one's there. However, there is a problem with it. The story. They did do that. However, the Trump campaign doesn't quite work like that. In other words, it's not like a bought event where you buy tickets and you own that seat. All it is access into the arena. So in other words, throughout the K-pop kids, that's 800,000. There still was a million tickets. So 200,000 tickets went out. So in other words, 200,000 people that would normally try to find a way to get there, or half of those would have made it, and then 20,000 in and 40,000 outside, or 20,000. That's about a normal Trump scenario. So it wouldn't have stopped any of those people from showing up and trying to get in, because it's only if you have access, a ticket, you get in. It doesn't matter if you don't get a seat number. You just walk in the arena. So technically, what Trump was saying is that people were not allowed to at the metal detectors in certain areas. They were blocked by protesters. And I've seen video footage both ways where Trump supporters said, yeah, we could not get, you know, they're standing out there and they said, here's people blocking us. And they were told that there's going to be a problem, and a lot of people, for their safety, they decided to go home. The point being, bigger point, Trump was not supposed to have rallies for 3 or 4 months till July or August. You know, he wanted to get the ball rolling. So just to have half the arena is a victory there. People without masks. Now, what's interesting is that Q has stated that they also did this for optics. They wanted to find out who's messing with what. They wanted to find out who's going to do an operation. And they said the next time this isn't going to happen. We'll see. Or in other words, they didn't go gonzo with stopping and shutting it down. They let things happen. And it'll be interesting because they can track phone numbers, people who organized this. You know, AOC was bragging about it. So it'll be interesting to see at the next event. But what I can tell you this, if you go to COVID-19.
Well, it was a failure, John, because they arrested a white woman, too, outside of the rally and she had a ticket to the Trump event. And the only reason they arrested her, she was sitting down, is because she had a Black Lives, I Can't Breathe t-shirt on.
I don't think it was a failure at all. The fact that he put on an event, and think about this. 2 weeks ago, even like having an event, people next to each other, impossible. They all have to have masks on. They'll have to be 6 feet apart. So the fact that half the place was filled, and that was just Tulsa. He hasn't gone to Texas or Florida. That's just a warm-up. It's just like an exhibition. The thing you want to keep in mind with all this is that if you look at the news, and I watch it every day, I watch it, you know, and I watch how they talk. And you turn it on, and I guarantee you, look at all the headlines right now. Go to YouTube. Go to Yahoo. Go to Fox. Go to CNN. And you'll see it's like, oh, COVID cases up. They're spiking. Every, you know, 23 states, it's up. The record levels, blah, blah, blah. You look at the death levels. See, they're testing more people, so you're getting more results. The death levels
are
not going up.
I do have something important to say about that. If they do the nose swab, it only tests if you have it right now, and if they do a blood test, it only determines if you have had it. And I have two more facts to recite. Texas had 5,000 new cases in one day, and other headline news is that nobody hardly wore a mask at the Trump rally in Arizona, and they changed the color of Cheetos temporarily to green so it wouldn't be associated with Trump as orange. And the other headline news is that Kay Ivey, governor of Alabama, signed a bill into law that fundamentalist Christian church can establish its own police force.
Whoa. Wow.
Well, if you look at the COVID-9, the current, which I did today, and once you know, we have on the weekly deaths in early, well, it started in March, March 14th, 52 deaths, a week later, 540, then 3,000, 9,000, 15,000 in April 11th, 16, 14, May 2nd, 11,000, May 9th, 10,000, 8,000, 6,500, 5,100, 3,500, 1,200, and last week, if I can get this bigger, 755 deaths. COVID. Did you see that? 2 months ago, 15,000 for about a month. And then the last month, about averaging 5,000. And now 1,200 and 755 in a week. And by the way, in California, I think it was like one person died from straight COVID last day. It's going down. Even all the cases. So what I'm saying is it's a very contagious flu. It's like the cold. It's like, yes, everyone's getting the cold. No one's dying. It's like you get sick for a couple of days, take your vitamins, stay away from grandma, go to work. You'll be fine. But it's not being hyped that way. It's being hyped. We got to shut down everything. We got to mail in the votes. We can't go to a Trump rally. You'll die. It's hype. It's fake news.
Except with riots.
Somehow, those are the facts.
Somehow it doesn't affect rioters.
Doesn't affect. These are the facts. These are the numbers. You go on the site right now. It's not 14,000 this week, not 10,000, not 3, not, you know, 755. And going down. 200, I think, in this current week. It's on the way out. And you should have more cases because people are going back to work. People are starting businesses again. This is America first.
California is one of the more restricted states. My sister lives in San Francisco, and there's more restrictions coming through July. And also, they just opened outdoor seating in restaurants, but compared to Minnesota, they have a lot more restrictions, including hair salons.
I just went to the gym today. And they want people to wear masks while they're on the aerobic machine.
Yeah, my relative sent me an article about how much masks limit breathing and how it's unhealthy for you.
It's killing us. And the hand sanitizers, they're finding out that the sanitizers have chemicals in it that are dangerous. Now, it's not going to kill you to put a little hand sanitizer on, but what I'm saying is, people are wiping every surface, their car, their bathroom, their counters, their sinks, their food, their everything. They're going crazy.
Somebody has background noise. It kind of sounds like a radio. Another thing we should discuss tonight is the polling places and the difficulty in voting lately? I heard New York had problems. Did you guys hear about that?
No, what's this?
I don't know. It just seems like with the primary voting, people have been standing in line long periods of time, and they've had a lot of problems recently.
You're going to hear more and more of that because they don't want people voting by in person where it can be verified. They want people to mail it in so they can manipulate it. And I've voted for every time for the last, 40 years. It's always 15 to 20 minutes max. Always.
I like voting in person. I prefer to vote in person.
They had a line like a couple blocks around. It was going to be 2 or 3 hours, and the machines couldn't handle it. The computers were locking, and this is supposed to be the 5G high technology. So someone's playing with this system. They don't want us to vote in person, but that's how you verify it. You can create anything when you go into a mail-in. You can just photocopy the stuff. You can copy it. China has a lot of invested in this.
No, I had friends who complained because they've already gotten their mail-in ballots for November.
You have the right to do
that.
They
didn't know if it was real or fake.
Myself, I go in person. That's just the way I am. I'm not going to leave it to some person to tweak. I mean, you can tweak it, I'm sure, at the machines, but from what I understand, the last two elections, especially 2018, Trump is very skeptical of the system, so they've been going through the whole thing and retweaking it because they want to make sure that nothing goes fake. And that's how come he's pushing vote in person. You can verify the identity, you confirm it, you got your address, you show your driver's license, do it manually, you're clicking the thing, and you hand it in right there, and that's verified. You mail stuff, it goes to a carrier who's handling it, and it goes to a box area. Some people get there, some people don't. There's they estimate about 1 million people that were not citizens voted the last time, just illegal people. That's from Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. And they're also dead voters on the rolls. There's just a lot of stuff that needs to be edited.
I have a question I know there were dead people getting stimulus checks. I have a question for Wade. Wade, are you in Arizona or California these days?
I'm in Arizona right now.
And have you seen any of the, are you near Phoenix or are you near a smaller city?
Near Phoenix. I'm just north of Phoenix, like about 30-minute drive or 30-minute
drive.
Okay,
so have you seen any of the protests? Have you been close to any of the Trump rallies? Like, what's on your radar where you've been staying?
Oh, not in a while. When in 2016 I was doing security work, and I was at I had to do a Trump rally, and it was just the company that was hired out. I heard about the rioting afterward, but I didn't see that. That was long after my shift was over. I haven't seen much going on as far as rioting.
Okay. I heard, was there a Trump rally a few days ago in Arizona, you guys?
I don't
know. Somebody posted a picture on my Facebook. Yes,
he was there today. Yeah. He was speaking to students. It was like a closed in, I think 3,000 people. It was basically an auditorium.
Okay.
Yeah, someone posted a picture that nobody hardly wore a mask.
How come all of a sudden Trump supporters are likely to get COVID but not rioters out, like these rioters, you don't hear about
it. It's called God's providence. They're separating the sheep from the goats.
Well, if you've seen all of the reports, the Trump supporters have always said, are saying that they're not concerned. That was their big pretty much motto, that they're not concerned. So that's what we have, that's what we're looking at. A segment of a society that really doesn't care if they get it or not.
Well, actually, though, Don, as you know, you have to get it to build the immunity. Now, if you're over 60 with multiple health conditions, yes, shelter those people. But what I'm saying is that's the immune system. All these people think they're safe because they didn't
right.
get exposed to it. You're not any safer. It's going to hit you in the winter or whenever you go back to work. So you're going to have to stay in your little secure room for 20 years. You'll still have zero immunity.
It's not about the independent. It's not about the individual, John. Here we go again. This is about the collective. We're looking at the fact that there are going to be contact tracers who are going to be searching everyone who has been in contact with anyone who's been around them. And that's going to be a civil rights, private rights issue. So, you know, we're looking at some things that are far greater than just an individual who gets something that feels like the common cold. You know, for 99% of everybody, it is, 98%. It is the common cold, but there are those people who are infirmed, and they need to make sure that they're healthy and they're part of families. And when you're part of a family, you're concerned about everybody, not just yourself. So
if you're over 60 with multiple conditions, hypertension, diabetes, heart problems, you're high at risk. That's 95%. But the 5%.
But it's not about the fact. The individual will be able to. Most individuals will be able to get over it. But it's the people who are going to be coming after your privacy. They're going to be looking to everywhere you've been when you have been in the presence of someone with COVID. So you know it's not about the individual. Yes, the individual will be all right. But if everybody else who is going to be affected by contact with anyone, that's the overriding reason why you want social distancing and why you want masks and why everything could have been way worse. I have to give Trump a little credit, even though he's been talking out of his butt again. But, you know, he did at least stop it, even though he didn't believe that it was anything wrong. But, you know, he did stop the country. I don't agree with it. I agree, you know, in a way, John, you're right. Everybody has to get it to get the antibodies. That's the herd immunity. So mainly because we're obviously still months, maybe years away from a vaccine. Once we get a vaccine, we're going to get another pandemic that we've got to find another vaccine. And so,
I have a friend, oh, by the way, because I know Jane wants to confirm reality. Her name is Terry Marquez. That's Maria Teresa Marquez. She goes by Teresa because she doesn't like Maria. She don't want to be another Maria. But anyway, she started Superior Office Products. I actually helped her start it. I took her to get her business license, her all the tax exempt stuff, all that stuff. I took her to the bank, showed her how to do it. She's been in business 20 years, and she's been closed for the last 2.5 months. She hasn't been able to pay the rent on the building. She's been in business for 20 years, and she can only deliver one day out of the week. And, you know, her clientele, she's just hanging on. She's supposed to wait another 6 months and socially distance from her customers till this all blows over? No, she'll be done. It'll be over. She'll be homeless. You know, she'll be on the street. So this is survival. So we're talking to the point of we can't wait any longer. People need to get back to work. They have to, you know, do whatever. Just put on your little mask, go to work. You're not going to die. You know, if you're under 60 in good health, you're going to be fine. It's no greater rate than the flu. It's not.
I don't give that you can have the corona all you want, but just don't have that person who's been in my line of vision, and then 3 days later come knocking on my door asking me this, that, and the other about where I've been. And I don't, you know, I'm not comfortable telling everybody where I've been. So, you know,
you work from home, but the rest of the people stay home and live off of $1,200 for the next 3 more months. Maybe get
They're not going to give it $1,200.
Right, and even if they did, we went from what 21 trillion to now 27 trillion deficit. And you want to throw a couple more? How long are we supposed to wait in a bunker? You can't.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of this, you know, whether China threw it on us on purpose, you know, that's because of Trump. They didn't do this because they hated our policies or were down with democracy. They did this because they did not stand our president. And now look where we are. Where the scenario you just said is right on target. We are, I mean, when he put those tariffs on it killed our farmers and it killed, you know, a lot of other things that we had going on. He just destroyed it. And yes, there is a possibility China threw this on act, well, you know, with carelessness or on purpose.
Biden was giving America to China. Biden was giving America to China piece by piece, peacefully. Just like Trump took him on, and that's why he's a threat. You want the man who's a threat to communism. You don't want the guy who's their buddy who's in the pocket.
But yeah, but you know that I have had good things to say about Trump about the being strong on China. I had, you know, I like that stance. But now we have to follow it up by bringing manufacturing back to America. We bring manufacturing back to America, we'll have an opportunity to really get this show on the road. Be the strongest nation that we were supposed to be. But the thing is that if we can't do it, if we don't address the age-old problem, the thing that started democracy, and that's race relations and ultimately racism. And if we can't fight that fight properly, then we're going to destroy ourselves. And we've got a lot of people right now who are ready to do something just like that. Out of respect for the police and our laws, they haven't yet. And that, you know, that's one of the, I have to give the American public kudos because they have kept their cool very, very, under very tense circumstances, especially community. They just, you know, and that's something that, you know, we have to give the black community a very, you know, good round of applause, if you will.
Well, then Trump is your man if you want to get the economy going and get jobs going again. He's the one who can turn this around in a few months.
But
Biden's going to take several years.
But I'm saying that no matter how well he can turn the he could how good of a businessman he is or is not, he is because of him, you know, he's lost control. It's just a little bit too late, especially after what we're going through right now. And as I've said before, we're not even started yet. Wait till these financial systems get a grasp of where they're at and see their profit margin statements. They're going to really see how much trouble they're in. You know, it's going to be ugly till the end of this year. It's going to be steady till the end of this year, but, you know, 2021, if there's nothing that happens significantly, then and Trump's in office, I don't know if he can bring this back because of his personality, simply because of his personality, not because of anything he can do. That's my worry.
You know, the only people that are rioting are people who don't have jobs. Okay.
Yeah, well, they're white people.
Realize that college students are not.
You kind of remind me of my Colorado boyfriend tonight, John. He's always talking about people who work versus those who don't.
What I'm saying is college students don't comprise 80% of the population. They're like 10 to 15% of it. Okay, there is a skew. We're talking 18 to 24. That's only like, you know, out of 80 years, that's only like, you know, under 10%. To slice, they're the ones that are out there. They're the face of this, but it's the people with money and with jobs. We're busy working and keeping the whole thing going. These kids are staying with their mommy and daddy. They're getting their allowance. They're on their tuition or whatever, and they need a Snuggie, and they need a little biscuit at night with their little hot cocoa with marshmallows. And guarantee you, they don't have a car. They got to take Uber. I know. Everyone at work, none of these kids have cars. None of them. They'll Uber.
My son does. He has one I gave him.
From you. You gave it to him. There you go. You answered the question. The point is like, they don't have cars. They get picked up by people who are like 30 years or older who have cars and jobs. Okay? That's the people trying to change the world. Sooner or later, they're going to have to get a job. They're going to have to stop protesting, and they're going to have to start living life and being responsible. And they're just not ready for that. That's how come they're excited. They want to just get rid of the police because that's the problem. They don't understand the police are called to handle problems. You can get rid of the police, there's still problems. Just because you get rid of police force doesn't get rid of the rape, the murder, the thievery, the bank robberies. That doesn't change just because you get rid of the police force. So Trump is your law and order guy. Biden is not. He's open.
Well,
we're
not talking about changing the police.
Guys, let Wade say something, too.
All right, well, we're not talking about changing the police. We're talking about changing the name of the police, and that's the difference. We're going to push for – because, like I said, we've been in negotiations for the last month with the police force.
Well, how are you
going to
stop
– the word police –
how are you going to stop 90-on-90 black-on-black violence? That's where the murders and the violence are coming. Is 90% of his
right.
This is the problem.
Right.
Forget about the 5%
yeah,
of the
you know what?
We want to get to the problem.
That is all because of inequality. They can't leave their city. They can't leave the segment of their city because of redlining and also lack of work. So they're stuck in an environment that is being exploited because it's easy to contain. The police force doesn't have to go anywhere. You know, it's a centralized location mostly, and it's easy. So there hasn't been an opportunity for black families to really move. Their upward mobility was stifled for so many decades.
Do you think you're free housing? How does this work?
There is
no,
because who wants free? Nobody has equity in free housing, John. You don't have equity in that.
I housed black people for over a year without paying rent. I did my share, and they didn't change. They never did pay the rent. They never did get the jobs and come back and pay me what they owed, ever.
Right. No, of course not. But the thing is that that's what I say. That was your deal. I don't know what the hell happened, but that was never, you know, you. That would be before Prop 13, and you know, you get 6 months now, but you had 3 months then, and
you
filed get them out.
You
have the marshal.
No, because you file bankruptcy, then you have to file a claim. You wait 3 months. You show up. They appeal it. You have to wait another couple months. Times that by 8 people.
Well, and unfortunately, that happened. And you know, your Donald Trump, he had to pay a lot of fines. He never went to jail, but he had to pay a lot of fines because he would not rinse the black people against the law. You know, he was doing, he was a criminal. So, you know, what do you do? And that's a good question. In your situation, you had to eat it all. You had to eat it all.
He's a criminal?
Absolutely. You're a criminal if you get, if you're adjudicated guilty by law, you know, you're a criminal. So he was a criminal multiple times because he refused to rent to black people. And so this is just a fact. And it's well known. So, you know, that's the thing. Just like, you know, he does, he loves, you know, he employs illegal immigrants. You know,
So you're saying because you're black, you can't stay at Trump Towers. You can't go there. If you have money, they'll say you're black. You're sorry, no room for you.
There was a time, yes, not so long ago, that I can't say it was specifically Trump Towers, but there was a time where black people could not go to hotels. Yes. And
if we go right now to Trump Towers, wherever he has them, like we could go. I've been to Vegas. There's a Trump Tower there. If we go there and meet with Jane, they won't let you in because you're black.
No, I never said anything close to that.
Well, that's what you say.
A movie recently came out about that segregation of hotels.
Yeah, and it depends on the hotel and depends on the. I mean, if you came to Vegas, there is no hotel that would not, double negative, but there's any hotel will let you stay in a room in Vegas. Let me put it like that. Okay, it doesn't matter your color. Now, if you were in, I don't know, Dallas or Nashville or something like that, there is a possibility, you know, it might be slight anymore, but there's a possibility that you would not, if you were black, be able to get into a room. Yes. And it happens a lot. And it used to, you've seen the pictures. It used to be norm. That was against the law for blacks to go into hotels. Right. So, you know, this is something that this is what we're talking about. If you don't know that, then you don't know much. Because that's one of the.
Who's doing
things.
The shuffling, the East Street shuffle behind the scenes?
No one. Not me.
Well, it might be my phone, my land phone. So, you guys, I'm going to close the show out in about 5 minutes. We've been talking 90. John, you can start with the conclusion, and then I'll go to Wade, and then Don and I will wrap it up.
Well, my conclusion is that things aren't going to get quieter. It's going to get worse. This is the American Revolution Civil War, and this will happen all the way down to the left. And that's what you're going to see, is you're going to have to choose sides. Do you want America, or do you want to stand up for revolution and destroy everything? Because that's what's going to happen. They're going to want to destroy the flag, every building, every thing of authority. They're going to want to tear it down and start over with the Marxist revolution. So, you know, be careful what you ask for. But I think that America will figure out what they want. And if not, we'll have the beast system. So we'll see if what happens. Myself, I'm not worried about it. We're all going to die anyway. So just live your life and live it free. Enjoy the freedom you have, because tomorrow it may be gone when you're in another city of Chaz or Chop. So chop, chop, everyone. All right.
I agree with you on some level, John, and I'm going to have Wade go next, but Wade, you go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, we're talking about some of these young people, like, and it's not all. I mean, there's a lot of young people not causing problems, but these certain groups that are burning things and tearing things down, and, like, And like Don mentioned, a lot of them are these white kids. It's true, you know. I mean, it's ridiculous. These young, angry, radical, crazy, you know, they want to burn stuff. And you know, in response to the murder of a black man, they go to black neighborhoods and destroy them. That's crazy, you know. That how are you? What are you doing? How does that help the black community? It doesn't. That's not their purpose. They want to just destroy. And they want authoritarianism. They want to steal. They want a country where they get to take our money so that they can just do what they want. They want to steal from us. That's what they want, these guys like Antifa, which actually what and John mentioned, these guys are like, a lot of these Antifa types are like, reminds them of the 60s. I think it also reminds me of the maybe Germany in the 1930s. These guys are like the brown shirts, you know. I think it's just, you know, people aren't what they call themselves. They're calling themselves anti-fascist. They're very much the fascists. They want authoritarianism. They want to control us. They don't like free speech, and they want to take our resources. Yep, that's it.
Good point. I forgot to mention in my conclusion, nobody mentioned that Chicago had 104 shootings this weekend, and 5 out of the 14 people killed were minors, and it was a very deadly weekend in Chicago, and that alone points out that certain pockets of our country are really unregulated and out of control. My conclusion is I agree with John in one sense that there's going to be radical social change, and it's probably going to be through the hands of violence. And when I was listening to that Rice University story today about how the student demands were so high, like, how many people are going to even be willing to go to that university unless their demands are met? So the faith in public institutions or college and universities might change. And I saw that Trump vetoed a student loan forgiveness thing today. Wade's call dropped probably by accident. And I think that our country is in major trouble. There's major upheaval in government. There's fear about COVID and non-consistency. And I agree with John that we should enjoy our private lives as long as we can, because I think there's going to be radical change. Don, you can go next. Don fell asleep, so I'm going to play one of John's. Go ahead, then.
Okay. No, for the most part, this is, first of all, there is no communism coming to America. We've got too embedded in the laissez-faire economic capitalism model. So we're not going to have any, it'll be a different model from that, but it won't be communism per se, because the people at these corporations and too many people went, you know, they're used to having their hand in the pot. We're already in a civil war. It started with Heather Heyer, you know, a white girl getting shot, getting run over. And the next thing you know, many people are realizing that their brethren, their parents, their grandparents, their legacy is not so nice. There's a lot of guilt, you know, feeling the wrath of God. And we're looking at a whole new set of people when it comes to, you know, those people, the privileged class, that we're finding out that a lot of people are done with what's been happening, and they're actually willing to go on with minorities for the fight, take the fight to the authorities, who have been, you know, they've been abusing their power for so long. You know, this is almost the dawn of time. So we've got to make everybody accountable, have the government do its job so that we can keep on with a democracy, a democratic republic, so that we can continue this experiment that is the greatest in the world, and it's got a lot of moving parts. So, you know, we've got to keep our heads, but I always say people in power need to share their ideas and their machinery, their knowledge with the people, bring them up, and that'll avoid any violent times. It'll be a smooth transition to the future.
Okay, thank you, and I'm glad both of you joined me tonight. Thank you for contributing to the show. And it's up in the air next week. While my friend goes to bed early at night, so I don't know if we're having a show next week. I'll keep you posted.
All righty.
Pray for me that I have safe travels in Denver.
Pray, and you've got my prayers always. Yeah.
And
no,
I am coming to Reno in August.
Okay. You're welcome.
COVID willing.
Yeah.
COVID willing.
I'm you know, just concerned that your travels are fine. It's when you get there. But anyway.
I'll be texting you and John, but don't worry. The guy is more tolerant than you think.
Yeah. And
he said that my philosophy is helping him see things in a different light.
And that's why we talk to people and make sure that they understand that there is no right way or wrong way. It's just the best way for us.
And I'm not trying to change anybody. But maybe spiritually I'm trying to enlighten him a little.
And that's what, you know, like I said, that's what it's all about.
Okay, John, I'm going to end with one of your songs, okay? Okay, good night, everybody.
All right, John Wade.
Night.
Good night, Jane.
Thank you.
night, John. Good night, everybody.